Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend, the celebration of the Eucharist, the great solemnity that this great gift we're given in the body of our Lord that feeds us. And we're so privileged to be able to be Catholics, you know, so privileged to be able to share in that gift and share in it together. And I often think about the moment when we, as a congregation on Sunday, as we receive the body and blood of our Lord and return to our seats, and many people are kneeling and praying and we're singing, and just think about the reality of what's unfolding there. The passion and death of Jesus, the crucifixion, is represented to us. It's made present, his offering, and this act of love by which he saved us, and the act of love that he offers his life on our behalf to the Father and gives to the Father what belongs to the Father, which is perfect obedience, perfect surrender. The love language of heaven is obedience. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And Jesus shows us what it's like, what we're called to be. He accomplishes his saving work. He brings down the kingdom of darkness. All of that reality is happening. It's being represented to us. And there's an open heaven there at Mass. Like, literally, we're communing with heaven. It's really the highest point in this life that we can, as a people, be united to God in worship together. And we receive the gift and we give thanks to God the Father. We give thanks to the Lord. It's so precious. And in that context, the life of God, like a river flowing from the heart of Jesus, from the throne room of God, is flowing into the people of God and healing us, giving us grace, strengthening us, uniting us together in one body. It's the most profound thing. And we're so thankful to the Lord for this great gift that we've been given. And sometimes we can miss or forget how precious it is. And we just give thanks to the Lord today in particular. Well, today's a special day too. The reading we have given to us today at Mass is the Beatitudes. This morning, I had some time before the Blessed Sacrament Chapel at our parish, and there's a big, beautiful icon there, the icon of Christ, the Pantocrator, you know, the ruler, the king, the Lord of all. And he's holding the word of God, and there's a particular passage there. It's from John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus declares who he is. He is the light of the world. He brings light. What does it mean? It means a variety of very significant things. You know, one of the things it means at the beginning of John's gospel, the beginning, the very first chapter, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness does not overcome it. And so light and life, phos and zo, that's the Greek terms, they go together. Those two terms go together. And the light that we're given, the fundamental, the greatest light that comes in the person of Jesus, is the revelation of the life of God, God's life. God sends forth his Son to communicate to us the reality of God, the love of God, who the Father is, who the Son is, who the Holy Spirit is. All gets revealed through the person of Jesus Christ. And it's the life of God. It's the life of the kingdom. And that's what Jesus has brought us. And so we get baptized into that life. We get strengthened through the sacraments, the word of God, and the life we've been given. And it's also the life that's being referred to. Jesus said, if the one who follows me will not walk in darkness, and follows is a discipleship term. It's a term that a master-disciple relationship. You see, in the time of Jesus, it would be very common to see a rabbi, you know, walking through Jerusalem and having walking behind him half a dozen or more of his students or his disciples. And they're literally learning from him. They're receiving a whole way of life. So they're following him. They're coming after him. And so Jesus uses that term when he calls each and every one of us, all those who are baptized in him, all who repent, hear the gospel and repent. They're called not only to just believe what he's saying, believe who he says he is, believe what he's going to do. But it also means to follow him, to obey him, to enter into a whole new way of living, walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And so the whole Christian life is just imagine yourself being like one of those disciples following a master. And in this life, we're following the way of life of Jesus. First him, our eyes are on Jesus, and our eyes then are on Our Lady, and our eyes are on the apostles, and all that's presented to us in the New Testament, and then the history of the lives of the saints, and it's all there. All of us are following the way of life of the person of Jesus. And what Jesus is doing is he's revealing the life of the kingdom, the way of the Father. And the kingdom of God is the only thing that's going to last for all eternity. And so when we come into relationship with Jesus in baptism and we're born again and given the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have a new power in us that enables us to be able to overcome the resistance that's in the human heart and in the flesh to walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And we live what St. Paul says, you know, the Christian life is a new life in the Spirit. The very life of Jesus, that light that is Jesus now in us. And he's teaching us a new lifestyle, a new way to think, a new way to live. And so today we get the precious gift of the Beatitudes. And Beatitudes is the beginning, you know, Matthew's gospel of the Sermon on the Mount. You could call it the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. Jesus lays out for about five chapters. He defines, he gives us light. When he says, you come follow me, he's saying, to follow me means to do the following, to live my way of life. So let's take a look at the Beatitudes. We'll take a look a little bit at a little definition of it and some things from the Catechism and from the saints today. Just I want to begin with a prayer, though, before we do and say, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this precious gift and teaching of the whole Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. You teach us how we're called to live in the life of the kingdom now. We ask you, Lord, for the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit today, that we could be awakened in a new way to the radical call of the Beatitudes, the blessed life, the life that you lead us into, a life that leads to a high cost, but a life that transforms and a life that gives life, the kind of life that will never end. In Jesus' name we pray. So the first Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is kind of a humility versus pride. The poor in spirit is someone who walks in humility with a poverty of spirit and looks to God for everything, leans on God. We recognize our radical dependence on God and God's love. And true happiness is not found in wealth. This is a great beatitude for living in the West today, being here in the United States, the wealthiest, richest, most powerful country in the history of the world. And Jesus is telling us where the real gold is. Everything else is going to pass away, but the kind of things he's teaching us here and now will never pass away. So true happiness is not found in wealth and pride, but in God alone. St. Augustine said, pride is the beginning of all sin, but humility is the beginning of all virtue. Teresa of Avila, humility is to walk in truth, seeing ourselves as we actually are before God. Now that's humbling. Beatitude number two, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning communicates the compassion that's in the heart of God. It's kind of the opposite of something like envy. Envy resents another's good. Mourning shares another's sorrow. We really do. Our hearts are broken. We have genuine sorrow. We weep for our sins. We weep for the sins of others. We weep for their suffering and we pray for them. We care for them. Catechism 1717 says, mourning over sin and suffering opens the way to God's comfort. St. Catherine of Siena, if you are what you should be, you will set the whole world on fire. Mourning includes sorrow for the world's sins. And that example given from the Catechism, I believe it is talking about evangelization, setting the world on fire. You care so much about your neighbor. You follow in the footsteps of Jesus and you bring the good news of God, God's saving message. Beatitude number three, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is not weakness. It's like the opposite also of wrath. It's strength under control, refraining from revenge. It's kind of the opposite as well, right? Catechism 1717 16, meekness mirrors Christ's gentleness. Inheritance is the new creation. So the meek inherit the earth, not the powerful, the rich, the mighty, because this world's going to pass away. What you inherit is you inherit the kingdom, and you share that with the Lord because he wants to share it with all of us. Thomas Aquinas said, meekness moderates anger, directing it to reason and charity. St. Francis de Sales, nothing is as so strong as gentleness. Nothing so gentle as real strength. Beatitude number 4, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. It's holy desire. It's the opposite of sloth, which avoids spiritual effort. But hunger drives pursuit toward God. Catechism 716, again, this is the longing for holiness and justice. Only God satisfies the heart. And Augustine's, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee, O God. The 5th beatitude, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy versus avarice is kind of an opposite. Greed hoards, mercy gives and forgives. Paragraph 1829 from the Catechism, mercy is a fruit of charity expressed in works of mercy. Justice is getting what we deserve, and mercy is receiving what we don't deserve. St. John Chrysostom, mercy imitates God. Nothing makes us so like God as extending God's mercy. Number 6, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity of heart is the opposite of lust. In some ways, it's also a single-mindedness, a singleness of desire for God. Lust clouds that vision. Purity integrates our sexuality, our intentions, and vision, God's vision for us, and we're able to see God with a pure heart. Gregory of Nyssa, the vision of God is reserved for the pure of heart. For the impure, it is impossible to see God. The 7th beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall become sons of God. Peacemaking, the active side of meekness, building reconciliation. This reflects God's nature. Francis of Assisi, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Beatitude number 8, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Enduring persecution is part of walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Living out the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle, all that Jesus describes in these chapters, if we live it out in obedience to him and extend the gospel, we're going to experience the kind of opposition that we see in the life of Jesus and in the apostles. One of the things that is so beautiful that over the years, thinking about the life of St. Francis and so many of the saints who endured trial and difficulty, and St. Francis had this wonderful, wonderful line. He was thinking about the Beatitudes, and he said these two different things. I just want to end with these quotes because they're two of my favorites. He said, our friends are all those who unjustly inflict on us tribulations and anguish, shame and injuries, sorrows and torments, martyrdom and death. We must have great love for them, since from what they inflict on us, we have eternal life. And then he goes on, so let's confidently pursue the promises of God. Our life here on earth is short. The punishment of eternity is real. Suffering here on earth is nothing, and the glory of heaven is forever. That's the mind of a saint. And that was a man who lived the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle, and he continues to touch lives 800 years later. God bless you. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.